are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. Welcome back. Or I guess I should say I should welcome myself back. It's been 3 weeks since we last did a show, but this is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the video game industry. Coming at you live from the Cal Poly Studios here in San Luis Obispo, California. Every Wednesday morning from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m., we've been doing this show for more than 2 years now. Two years and a couple of months and change. If you've never listened to this show before, basically for an hour we like to talk and discuss the various issues surrounding the gaming community and the industry itself. We've got news, we've got music, and on today's show, I can't promise anything. The last time that I promised something or someone on the show, things were disorganized and it didn't go through as I had hoped it would have. But I can promise you this: if you stick around with me for the next hour, people may come on the show. I'm not sure who yet and with what frequency, but I'm pretty sure that it's possible that... How's that for commitment? I'm pretty sure that it's possible that there will be someone on the show this morning, and you can expect that sometime in the future. And I'm being very vague, but it's the best it's the best I can do, given that I'm relying on the good graces of people who I'm not entirely familiar with. The other change that's come to the show this quarter is Dave Hampton, who did the show with me for a long time. Good run. He is my co-host, my wingman, if you will. He is no longer on the show. He bailed out on me. No, he got a job. And he graduated, and now he's joining the real world where, you know, you get paid for a living. Something completely foreign to me, being a student. But he's apparently people are giving him money to have responsibilities, and that's cool. So he will not be on the show anymore, unless, of course, he somehow can magically come back to San Luis Obispo every Wednesday from Northern California. But that's all right. Dave, we will miss you, but, you know, I'll hold things down in your absence. We've only got, I would say, nine more weeks of Press Start, which is kind of sad when you think about it. I am also attempting to join the workforce, and we'll see how successful that ends up being. But Press Start will be on the air for the remainder of this academic quarter, and then who knows what's going to happen to the future of this show. I like doing the show, and I know there are people who like listening to it, so hopefully there is a way to get people to continue listening. One of the things over the spring break that I actually got the chance to do, and this is, if you're interested in the show, if you listen to the show, if you download the show, which you can do, by the way, after this goes off the air on Wednesday mornings, we upload the show, which we are recording, to our web space. You can download it, PressStartKCPR, that's the email address. It's PressStart.TheFighting.org. That's the website where you can download it. And the email address, like I just said, PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with me during the show, you know, you want to sound off about something that you are deeply passionate about related to gaming, or maybe, you know, you hate or something. Or if questions are always good too. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. As I was saying, one of the things that I got the opportunity to do over the break, I got to do a number of things, but one of them was a new podcast for the website that I'm writing for. It's a gaming website. I like to plug it when I can because I think we do a pretty good job over there. GamesAreFun.com. What could be truer than that? Games are fun. And so there's a website for that, GamesAreFun.com. We did a podcast. We relaunched the podcast over there, and there hasn't been a podcast over there in almost a year. And so we are getting the podcast back. I like to think that the things that I've learned by doing this show for the past 2 years or so are going to help me transfer and make that podcast a nice little thing to listen to. So if you're, you know, once this quarter is over and there is no more Press Start in the San Luis Obispo area on KCPR, at least hosted by me, I would love for the legacy to continue, but, you know, who knows. If you're interested in, you know, or you just love my voice for whatever reason, God help you, you can check out that podcast. And in fact, the first episode, which we posted earlier this week on Monday, is up. Sort of a little different flavor than what you get on this show. It's more of a roundtable discussion type of environment with the staff members. So I'm not the only one talking. And we're aiming to make it fun to listen to, entertaining, and at the same time informative around the industry. We have some contacts at the site. Hopefully we can land some interviews. So go ahead and check that out, gamesarefun.com. I believe the podcast article is still on the front page. So, you know, if you're interested, you might give that a listen, and we would appreciate it very much. And you can also leave your feedback there as well. So that's pretty much the business as it stands. And I know a lot of people send me emails missing Dave. In fact, we got one that said, we got one from a listener from down in Southern California who listens to the show. He writes, just wanted to thank you guys for doing an awesome show. I didn't tune in until just a few weeks ago, but Dave, thou shalt be missed. Good luck with your future endeavors, and I hope we'll see you again on the show soon. I can thank you, first of all. Thank you for the kind words, and I hope we can get Dave back on here sometime soon. Also, real quick, before we get into the show, we've got a lot of news to cover, and there's actually a ton of stuff happened. I have an update for you on NIS America, the software company, over the break. I went to one of their media events. So there's a lot of stuff to cover this morning. I have a review. Well, it's not really a review, but I stayed up real late last night, among other things, playing an Xbox Live arcade game that came out last night, Boom Boom Rocket, a game I've been looking forward to for just a long time. It's a music game, kind of like Dance Dance Revolution, only you play it with the controller instead of the dance mat. And what else? It's sort of like Fantavision, if you ever played that. I mean, it's not really like Fantavision. I guess the only thing they share in common, Boom Boom Rocket and Fantavision, is that they use fireworks to a great extent. But we'll talk about that, because it came out last night on the Xbox Live Arcade, and I was really excited when I first saw and heard about this game. And so we'll talk about that. I also am going to talk about a very humorous event that happened at the European PlayStation 3 launch, because, as you know, the PlayStation 3 didn't go on sale in Europe till just a couple weeks ago, March 23rd, and there's a funny story about a France launch event that I just thought was hilarious, and some great marketing on the part of this company, who will remain unnamed for now. So we'll get to all of that. We've got music, of course. I do, when we come back, we're about to take a music break. When we come back, there's a movie, and I know this is a video game show, but it does relate, I promise you. There is a movie that is out, it's been out for a couple weeks, that it was just utterly awesome. I don't know, maybe some of you around campus, if you're listening, saw the review, or my review, in the Mustang Daily yesterday. But if not, I want to talk about it, and specifically, I want to talk about it in relation to gaming, because it's a really interesting concept that you've got going on in the movie about games. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and of course, I got to stay topical with that. So usually we play game music, but today we are going to, this first music break at least, take a stab at some old school pop rock style with The Who. I don't know if there's any Who fans out there, but it's called Love Reign Over Me, and when we return, we will get into it. So stick around on Press Start in San Luis Obispo, broadcasting KCPR 91.3 FM. You are listening to Press Start. That was The Who with Rain Over Me. Love Rain Over Me. That's the song title. I promise you that relates, and I will get to that. But first, I wanted to go on a mini rant. I was just accused by a listener of being way too nice to Dave Hampton. He accuses me of, just sort of butt-kissing, brown-nosing, and all that. So, you know what? You're right. I need to balance this out a little bit. Dave Hampton is a jerk. I'm so glad he's gone. I can do this show by myself. I don't have to worry about this guy jumping in over here and, like, saying something to me while I'm trying to give you the news. You know, this guy is
not
just...
Not like that ever happens.
Oh, wow. Where did you come from?
I'm on your right.
Oh.
On the other mic.
Oh.
You had muted until just now.
Hey, Dave.
How's it going?
Oh, man. It's a shock to see you here, especially after those horrible things I just said about you.
Oh, yeah. You jerk.
Oh, how's it going, man?
Not too bad. I happen to be in town this week, and...
I see that. You just decided to show up here at the station. I like that. Sort of impromptu, like, hey, it's Dave Hampton. I'm not gone yet.
Well, I was hoping to get there when it started, but I had some trouble parking on campus, so I got here right afterwards and figured I'd wait till the first music break.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're here again. This is cool. This is sort of like a reunion, even though it's really nothing different because...
Well, especially we haven't had any shows in between when I left and when I've come back.
Indeed.
So, as far as anyone knows, nothing's changed.
We need, like, the Cheers theme song right now, and, like, you know?
Have my own theme music for when I come on.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm a special guest, so, you know, maybe I can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we can give you, like, an honorary doctorate or something for being a special guest.
Yeah, get a degree. That would be great.
Hey,
thanks to that guy who wrote all those nice things about me. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was David from La Mirada, California.
Oh, well, thank you, David. Excellent name. I approve.
Of course. So, Dave, you're back, and you're just going to chill out with me here till 11 o'clock. I'm sure there are people that are just extremely happy that you come back. They're like, yes, that Justin guy, don't have to listen to him all the time. Because you still have to listen to me, just not, you know, for the whole hour.
That's true.
And I can't compare to The Who. I mean...
I do like The Who.
The Who's good.
I'm curious to see how that ties into games.
All right, so let's talk about that. I, over the weekend, I went and saw this movie called Rain Over Me.
Okay.
Adam Sandler movie, got Don Cheadle in it, Liv Tyler's in it. I went to see it mostly because I was assigned to review it, or I volunteered to review it for the newspaper. The other reason I went to see it is because I read this article somewhere online about how the writer of the movie wanted to include as sort of a major point in the film Shadow of the Colossus in some way.
Oh.
And you know how I am about Shadow of the Colossus. I'm just a raging...
Well, with good reason. That's,
yeah.
That's one of the more impressive games produced.
Yeah. And, so I heard about this, and they said that it sort of plays a major role in the plot and the character development. So I was like, hey, I gotta see this movie. All I really knew was that it was, you know, Adam Sandler plays this guy who's going through some post-traumatic stress disorder after his family was killed in the 9/11 attacks in 2001. And then he meets his college roommate, who's Don Cheadle, sort of after many years of not speaking, and they sort of, you know, become friends again. And that's really all I knew, and I wanted to see how Shadow of the Colossus got worked into the film. I think originally the director, Mike Binder, he wanted... Well, let me back up a little bit. I should say that Adam Sandler's character, Charlie Fineman, in the movie, he suffers from PTSD, and he goes through sort of habitual actions. He's always remodeling his kitchen, and one of the other things he always does is plays Shadow of the Colossus. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of, in the article I read, it was the writer, or not the writer, because that's the same as the director, but Mike Roush, I think the guy's name is. I think that's his name. Excuse me if that's not correct. But he wanted to put Shadow of the Colossus in the game because, you know, it's about these huge, tall, like, beasts, these colossi, you know, falling down. That's not what the game is about, obviously, but it's like taking them down, you know? And it's sort of like that moment in Shadow of the Colossus that's really emotionally powerful is when you finally take down that colossus and he falls slowly over and crashes to the ground. And, Roush thought that it would be a good sort of metaphor for the 9/11 attacks in that the Twin Towers, they came down, there were these huge giants, and they sort of crumbled and fell. And because originally, the director and writer, he just wanted like a first-person shooter with like aliens and stuff. That was the game that Sandler's character would play.
So he wanted to have a video game of some
sort. The video game was always penned in as something that Sandler's character was doing over and over. And you know, originally, it wasn't going to really tie in, but Shadow of the Colossus was sort of introduced at the last minute. And what I think is interesting is Roush had to actually get approval from Sony Computer Entertainment Japan, and specifically from the director of Shadow of the Colossus, Fumito Ueda, to actually have it in the movie. But he approved, and it's in there, and it's actually pretty cool. It gets some major screen time. Adam Sandler's character's playing it, excuse me, on like a huge, like 60-inch, like flat screen TV.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it's really cool. I mean, he plays it, and it's sort of a major element in the movie. I mean, he introduces it to Don Cheadle to play, and they sort of, you know, go back and forth playing it. It surfaces sort of throughout the montages between main scenes in the movie. Like, you'll get, like, scanning over New York, and then one of the scenes I remember is the 15th Colossus, which is that huge, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, Dave, but it's this huge giant one who climbs out of this huge chasm and, like, puts his hand down and standing there.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Well, they have that in the game. They've got the flying one, the big flying dragon one. That's sort of near the end of the film, and it's never sort of explicitly, you know, it's not really, like, treated as a video game in the movie. I mean, there's one scene where Sandler's teaching, you know, Don Cheadle's character how to play by saying, oh, the square button does this, you got to hold blah, blah, blah to shoot, and sort of he's walking him through how to play, but, you know, the scenes from the game are just sort of interspersed throughout the movie, and it's, like, a really cool effect. And as someone who's a gamer, who knows the game, who's beaten the game, who loves the game, and sort of, I sort of appreciate what Roush was trying to do by incorporating that into the film.
So I would think with a game like Shadow that it would be very powerful for someone who's played it, who has all the emotional ties to having conquered the Colossus, having, you know, produced the action that caused these great beasts to fall down.
Right.
But what do you think, having seen it, because I haven't seen it,
right,
do you think a person who has no idea what this game is about or, you know, hasn't played any games, do you think they'll have the same impact?
You know, I don't. I was in the theater on Sunday watching it, and there were some elderly people in there. And I was thinking during the movie, like, wow, what do they think? Do they think, hey, this is just another video game, etc., that they're playing? I mean, they specifically say Shadow of the Colossus in the movie, although they mispronounce it as Shadows of the Colossus, but that was done intentionally, I believe. But, you know, I'm sitting in there. There are a couple of young people sitting in front of me, like younger, like, you know, maybe 17, 18, 19. They understood, I thought, the game because they knew what it was. I don't know. I think maybe if people are not familiar with it, they won't get that reference as sort of a representation of sort of reliving that tragedy of the falling of the World Trade Center.
Well, I guess that's what I mean, because there are ways, I would assume, I mean, I'm no filmmaker, but I'd assume there are ways to present that and to try to get that across.
Yeah. It sort of seemed like an in thing. Like, if you know, you know, and if you don't, well, it's just another video game.
Okay.
That reference, I think if you get the reference, it makes the movie a little bit more poignant. But, by the way, my personal take, great film, one of the best movies I have seen in years. And I say that without hyperbole.
Hmm.
Just an absolutely great movie. Adam Sandler does an awesome job. I mean, he is absolutely incredible in this film. In his role, and it's really sad. It's tough to sit through, especially near the end. It's really sad, but it's a great movie, and I'm going to go see it again when I get the chance, and I think that everyone else should too, because, you know, in addition to the Shadow of the Colossus thing, which is the main reason I wanted to see it, there's a lot of stuff that's really relevant to today's sort of world and today's, you know, society in America, and it's just a great film, so.
Now, it's Adam Sandler. Is it a funny movie, or is it...
You know, it's a good question because at Sandler, there are a lot of funny moments, sort of just situational comedy. And, you know, I wouldn't say Sandler's character is a funny character to begin with. I mean, he's believable as someone suffering from PTSD in a sense. But it is funny. There are a lot of funny moments. There's also a lot of sad moments. So it's kind of like a dramedy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Sandler's really known for his, you know, crazy screwball comedy, at least.
Yeah.
All the movies I've seen of him.
Well, this is totally different. This is Adam Sandler, like you may have not seen him before. I believe people were comparing his performance in this film to Spanglish. I think he was in that one.
He was. Remember. I didn't see it, though.
Yeah. Well, anyways, a great film. I think everyone should see it, so don't miss out on that. What do I want to get to now? I think we're going to take another musical break right now, and this also very related. Oh, by the way, that song from The Who. It was in the film. That's why I played it. And,
well, sure, it has the same name.
Well, of course.
They have to do that. I think it's just some unwritten rule of Hollywood.
Of course, yeah. Well, you know, the soundtrack's really good, too. That's the other thing I should mention in Rain Over Me. Really, a lot of good stuff. They've got the Pearl Jam version of that song that rolls with the end credits, and, you know, I've been listening to it on repeat for a while. So, in any case, we'll take another musical break, and this is a remix of the Halo theme called Insurrection, and there's a reason for that as well. Bungie released a brand new sort of video, not trailer, but a video of the multiplayer, making of the multiplayer mode yesterday, Bungie.net. Go check it out if you get a chance. It looks awesome. We'll talk a little bit about that and also some of the other cool stuff that Microsoft did in the past 2 or 3 weeks. So stick around. Dave Hampton is back for one more go-round. I love it. You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM.
Thank you.
Halo, Insurrection, that's the name of the song by Crispy. Crispy with a K. Very appropriate, as Bungie, as I mentioned before the break, unleashed a new video for the multiplayer mode of Halo 3. Looking awesome. They've got that cool thing, I don't know if you ever saw the commercial, where Master Chief throws that grenade and a shield appears around him.
I don't think I saw that one.
Okay, well, they have a new thing now where you have like a little, like a rolling grenade slash mine thing where you deploy it. And it deploys like this clear like shield that can't be shot through, and it sort of has a radius, and the grenade is like round, so it rolls. But as long as you're standing inside the radius of the shield, you can't be hurt until the shield wears off. So it's really awesome. I can't wait to use that because it's going to bring a whole new level of strategy, especially to games like Capture the Flag, where you can like deploy shields for the flag carrier so you can like run through them and not get shot.
Oh, that would be cool.
So it's going to be pretty neat. That's Halo 3, Bungie.net, like I mentioned. The other thing that Microsoft did, and I found this just absolutely hilarious. I don't know if you ever saw this video, but the PlayStation 3 launched in Europe on March 23rd. And there was a French gaming TV station over there that was doing sort of a live party kind of event. Sony was throwing this event near the Eiffel Tower.
They gave TVs to the people in Europe. Oh. Around here, we got bullets.
Yeah, uh-oh. I think that may be who I think it is. Let's hold on. Dave, keep him busy. Hold on one moment.
All right. Well, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to presume it has something to do with some news I caught wind of the other day, which said that at the European release of the PS2, yeah, sure enough, they were giving out TVs, and everybody in the U.S. was going, wow, what the heck? Why? We all got shot. We were trying to get ours. Apparently, Microsoft had somebody out there saying, hi, guys, welcome to the next generation. I guess it starts now because you say it did.
Well, Microsoft went even one up, and what they did was, by the way, we'll get to who was on the phone because that's pretty interesting in and of itself. But I want to finish this story. The PS3 launch event at the Eiffel Tower, Sony was having like this party and sort of to celebrate it, and there was a French gaming network there. And the French TV stations got their little set like next to this river in the middle of Paris. And so you've got them sitting there covering the PS3 launch, and all of a sudden you're watching, and behind them you see like a big boat like floating down the river, and you're looking and you're like, what is that? Is that a boat down the river? And like on literally on either side of the river there's this huge line of people waiting to buy a PS3. And so the hosts are talking, then they turn around and they see this boat. And they look at it, and then the camera zooms in, and you notice that the boat is like a barge, and draped across the side of this boat is a giant like poster that covers the entire length of the boat that says Xbox hearts you or something like that.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, and they've got the big Xbox logo on it, and Microsoft apparently floated this huge boat down the middle of this river right through the launch event in Paris. And they got it caught on TV and everything for the PS3. It was just hilarious.
See, I'm normally opposed to large corporations, but when they bicker like this is awesome. Keep this up, Microsoft.
The X-Boat, as people were calling it. So it was pretty funny. And if you get a chance to check out that video, it's probably on YouTube by now. But
I'll
check
that out.
So funny. I mean, this big boat sort of like slowly like finding its way like down the river while all these like Sony people are like in line for the PS3. So that was pretty good. Phone just rang. You heard it. I heard it. I'm sure some other people heard it as well. Let's see who's on the line for a moment there. Hunter.
Hello.
How's it going? You finally managed to get in here.
Yes, I did.
I guess the last week that you were supposed to be on the show, you sort of had a little mishap with some substances, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yes. Do not mix Claritin and screwdrivers.
my co-host over here, Dave Hampton, was a big fan of that when I told him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. If you got to miss a show, I mean, you have a story for it now.
Exactly. Hunter, you, I we've been trying to get you on the show for, a couple weeks now, and now that you're here, I'll remind everyone where you're from. You are, how do you pronounce your last name, first of all?
Goff. Goff.
Goff?
Goff, like cough.
Okay, Goff. Okay. Hunter Goff, you are, sort of the owner and proprietor of StudioHunty.com. That's sort of your own personal... Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Oh, I just... I do all kinds of things, and I do way too many things. I just came to the realization that the other night that my childhood wish was to do one of everything, and now I wish my childhood wish had been to do just one or two things well enough to make money. So I've done tons and tons of different little tiny various projects over the years, and I decided to cram them all together in Studio Hunty because they were all spread out all over the place. So Studio Hunty is just basically a collection of all my various hobbies, all my hobby projects.
So, like, as a profession, what do you do sort of, like, you know, to make your living?
Oh, I fix computers for a hospital.
Okay. And so in your free time, you sort of code and software stuff for your website.
Right.
The first time that Dave and I sort of got turned on to you, we were doing a feature on this show about games for, like, the blind or the visually impaired, and, mm-hmm. and Dave stumbled upon In the Pit as sort of an audio game, and we were both just very, very sort of had fun with it, and we liked it a lot, and so we were like, oh, we got to get in touch with this guy. It's really cool. Could you describe maybe how you went about creating In the Pit? I know it's for a contest, right?
Right. Well, actually, first I can't remember how, but I stumbled on Sonic Invaders, which was that sound. It was an audio only Space Invaders game, and that just sort of got the gears rolling on audio only games, which I never even thought of before. And so originally I was thinking I was playing lots and lots of Rez at the time, so I was like, oh, well, I can make an audio only version of Rez, and I kept, you know, playing that out in my head, and it always came out completely awful. So I tried to shave it down a little more, and I turned it into a sort of stealth action game with sort of a splinter, sort of a Rainbow Six sort of thing. And then I still hadn't actually committed it to, I actually hadn't sat down to start programming it yet. But when the Experimental Game Competition announced their first competition and announced that the theme was going to be consume, then at that point I thought, oh, well, if instead of, like, a spy assassinating people, you're a monster eating people, that would kind of fit into consume. And so I developed it that way.
And I understand that you and your wife did all the voice work for that game too, right?
Yes.
I did. We really appreciate the scream that you get when you eat someone. We love that.
Thanks. Yes, I'm kind of proud of that.
That was even better when I was playing this at home, when I was first demoing the game. Uh-huh. I noticed a couple of things about it. First of all, it had a great advantage over Sonic Invaders in that it didn't crash immediately when my system ran it. So it actually ran quite well and was very robust, so good work there. The second is that scream you produced, as well mm-hmm. as a lot of the breathing noises, mm-hmm. have an interesting effect on the people in my apartment when I'm blasting them over a speaker system in my room. So well done there too.
Did you get a lot of visits from people?
Yeah, we did. Well, people come in
911.
Oh no! Just my roommates came in, and they're looking at me. I have a fedora over my face. I have headphones on, and I'm holding an Xbox controller about 4 feet up in the air.
Speaking of the Xbox controller, uh-huh. do you own a 360 at all?
I don't have a 360 yet. No, I just. I got the controller for another project I was working on, and that project fizzled, and then I ended up using it for In the Pit because it's just Microsoft has made it incredibly easy to program for it, which is amazing because in the past, Microsoft, up until just like the last couple of years, Microsoft's libraries and stuff have just been hideous and have been a real high barrier to entry, but now starting with X input for the Xbox 360 controller, and now XNA, their hobby dev kit for the 360.
Right.
XNA is just amazing. It's really easy to program. So, I was happy with how easy it was to program the 360 controller, and also, because it was an audio only game, I was trying to think, well, how can I squeeze all the feedback that I can out of this game? I can have the audio, and then most most consoles have vibrating controllers now, so I can do a vibrating controller and get feedback that way. And so the vibration feature, the fact that it's scalable, the fact that the vibration on the 360 controller is scalable, and the fact that it has the analog stick, really made it the perfect controller for them, really sort of designed the game around that controller.
I thought it worked well. The vibration was pretty cool. I remember you were telling me about that, Dave. The other thing, I also got a chance to play your Pretty Pretty Bang Bang, which is sort of like a clone of Every Extend Extra.
Uh-huh.
I like that game as well. I thought that was really cool for being just a little browser app, like Flash app kind of thing. That was neat. What are some of the other projects you've got on here? I haven't had a chance to look at all of, any of the other ones, but like your favorite ones or the ones that you were like most proud of.
Well, my baby for the last 6 months through half of last year was Sketchy, which was a Metroidvania that was running entirely in Flash. And at the end of the 6 months, I had it almost finished, and I finally came to the realization that nobody actually pays for games made in Flash. So it was an attempt to make a commercial game, but I was putting so much effort into it. And while I respect people like, you know, Pixel for spending 5 years making Cave Story and then giving it away for free, it kind of breaks my heart when I have to end up giving away stuff for free, because you know I'm always looking for the break that will that will get me finally making games for a living.
Have you considered self-publishing through something like Xbox Live Arcade? I understand half of those are Flash.
Some of them begin in Flash, but they're not. I think Hexic is the only game on Xbox Live Arcade that is entirely in Flash, and they kind of wrote a special subset of Flash just to run that.
I see.
But that's what XNA is about. It's about homebrew PC games and Xbox games. And right now Microsoft is saying that there's no real plans that there's a barrier between games developed by hobbyists on XNA and Xbox Live Arcade games, but a lot of people are thinking that if a hobbyist game is good enough that it can leave that barrier.
And I think that would be really cool too. I think, you know, sort of developing a marketplace of peer to peer or like community developed games, it's really neat, and that's how, you know, a lot of stuff started that way. A lot of really cool games like just are from people who do it just sort of as a hobby. And I think if there's like a corporate-backed like area where people can go and sort of check those out, I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the site here. Hunter Goff from Studio Hunty. We are talking with him right now. Some of these game descriptions are pretty funny. I mean, Wedgie Ninja. What's that one like?
Wedgie Ninja was my. I also entered into the second experimental gameplay competition. In the Pit was my submission for the first one, and it was a finalist. Wedgie Ninja actually got second place, and the goal of the second experimental gameplay competition was to design a game. It was sponsored by Red Octane, so they wanted you to design a game that used one of their dance pads but wasn't a dancing game. So Wedgie Ninja, I'd actually been, at the time, I'd been thinking about whether or not killing lots of people is mandatory for a game to be a solid game. And so I was thinking about a game where you wouldn't kill people. But Wedgie Ninja, I was also thinking about sort of a stealth game, again, like I do within the Pit. So I was thinking, well, a ninja, but it's a ninja who doesn't kill people. So the bad guys have to be like not bad enough to warrant death, and how can he punish them without killing them? Well, he could give them a wedgie, and so that's how that developed. You sneak along using a dance pad. You run on the dance pad, sort of like the old pad for the nest. You run on the pad to move the ninja, and then every once in a while people will walk by, so you have to hide behind trees and logs and things like that, so that people don't see you as you're sneaking up on the bad guy to give him a wedgie. And I was really happy that went over really well in that competition, and again got me second place and a gigantic pile of Guitar Hero swag, which was
very nice. Very nice. Yeah. What games are you playing at all? I mean, do you have a lot of time to play games? And if so, like, what are you playing recently?
Yeah. Let's see. Last night I played some Disgaea 2. Recently, I beat God of War 2, which I think was pretty good. It was a good, solid sequel. It wasn't as good as the first one, but there's a lot of complaints that the God of War system is, you know, you just press the button as it appears on the screen, and I think there's a good mix of that and actual action, and so I kind of welcome the parts where buttons just appear on the screen and you just hit them. Let's see, actually, along the lines of not killing people in games, one of the best games that I've played recently was Bully from Rockstar, and I was just blown away by how good that game is, and, you know, in the game, nobody dies. You know, you give a lot of Charlie horses and swirlies, and there might even be some wedgies in there, but you don't actually kill anyone, and it's a good, solid, dramatic game without anyone having to die, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, it was really well received, and especially after all that controversy that surrounded it before it even came out. I mean, before anyone had played it.
Yeah, that was especially awesome. Was just the total in your face to all the dinguses who were.
Do you think a Bully sequel focusing on a Wedgie Ninja Academy would be a viable business proposition?
Absolutely, absolutely. Rockstar is welcome to contact me for Wedgie Ninja 2.
That would be awesome.
Crossover.
I would day one. I would get that. That would be awesome. Well, Hunter, thank you for coming on the show. I'm glad to finally talk to you. We've had a lot of fun looking through Studio Hunty, talking about In the Pit. In fact, that was one of our more popular shows where we did the audio games and sort of we did all that stuff. So, best of luck to you in the future. Hope you get into the industry and love your site, StudioHunty.com. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
You too.
All right, so Hunter Goff, excuse me.
We've been mispronouncing that the entire time.
Oh yeah, and
we weren't even close.
I do apologize. Well, that's what happens when you get, you know, like the vowels and the G and H together after those vowels. I do apologize for mispronouncing his name like that. So, but there you go. We finally got him on the show. Hopefully, you stuck around for the past couple of weeks after we said, "Hey, we're going to get Hunter on the show," and so he. He got on and StudioHunty.com, that's his website. Go check it out. He's got a lot of cool stuff over there, including In the Pit, which you can play.
That was good to finally talk to him.
It was, yeah.
He's one of those guys that just makes all these neat little games. And I'm just like, man, this guy needs a job. I want to play more stuff this guy makes.
Yeah, he's really cool. Really sort of down to earth and glad we got a chance to chat with him. He did mention in there he played Disgaea 2. Of course, that's an NIS America game, and I did say something about NIS America at the beginning of the show. They went to their sort of media event over spring break, and they sort of unveiled what's coming out in 2007 for them. They've got Dragon Ears Aria. It's a PSP RPG that's coming out. It looks really cool. It's 3D, and it looks like it's really going to push the PSP system specs. Other thing they had there, there's Disgaea Portable, which is coming soon. It's basically the first Disgaea, but the cool thing about it is they've added some content. They added a multiplayer mode, and they also added an Etna story mode, which I don't know if you recall the beginning of the first Disgaea, where Etna's trying to wake up Laharl, and she's using all like these torture devices and weapons and stuff because he just won't wake up.
I think I saw something about that.
Yeah, and so he's lying in his coffin, and she's like, you know, got a ball and chain, and she's got like a mace and stuff. She's trying to wake him up, and like right as she's about to like use one of these things to just utterly paste him inside this coffin, he wakes up, luckily, and he's not killed, and so that's where Disgaea begins. The PSP Disgaea, they have this thing called Etna story mode. It poses the question, what would have happened if Etna had actually killed Laharl and he had not woken up and instead was just sort of like a mess inside the coffin? Well, you'll get the chance to find out because you'll be able to play through Disgaea as Etna, and sort of it's got its own storyline. So that's pretty neat.
That is neat.
That's
wow.
Really cool. Adding significant content to the game. They also showed off Grim Grimoire, which is a 2D side-scrolling real-time strategy game. And I know that it just seems utterly incomprehensible, but I played it. It's pretty solid, and it's a lot slower paced than something like maybe Warcraft or Starcraft or something like that. But I really enjoyed what I saw. The voice acting's pretty good, and of course, VanillaWare, same people doing Odin Sphere, just absolutely gorgeous sprites. I mean, you saw Odin Sphere, just the sprites.
Odin Sphere is really nice looking.
Same art style for Grim Grimoire, and
a lot of color in that game.
Grim Grimoire comes out in June. I'm really excited for that. And That's about it. We had some interviews with the NIS Japan guys and the guys from Hitmaker over at GamesAreFun.com. I believe they're in the archive, so if you just do a quick search for the month of March. That was a crazy night. It was in San Francisco. I went to the party in San Francisco. You know San Francisco, you can't really park down there. It's tough to drive to. I took BART from Pleasanton to downtown San Francisco, went to the party. From the party, took BART back, got in my car, drove 4 hours to SLO, stayed up for another 3 hours working on the article. So,
oh, geez.
It was crazy, crazy times. But it was fun, and I enjoyed it.
You weren't plastered from that party?
No. Oh, man. They had a chocolate fountain there. They had a fountain that's like emitted chocolate in like a falling cascade.
That's what this studio needs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Every studio needs that. I mean, it was like...
I've been trying to put my finger on it. What is this studio missing? I mean, I like our show. I like the other shows here on KCPR. There's something just missing. That's it.
Chocolate fountain. You would not believe it. I mean, they had like cream puffs and cake and strawberries and marshmallows. And it just like you would stick it under this like... unbroken, beautiful waterfall of chocolate.
You
and
mess it all up for
yeah.
your taste.
Well, I stood around and sort of mingled in that area for a good hour and a half, at least just eating chocolate and cake. I guess, yeah, if anything encapsulates what gaming is all about, it's chocolate and cake, maybe? I don't know. But
we've been missing the point all along.
Yeah.
Why don't we just eat cake? No, that sounds like a good party,
cake.
Though. So, I mean, did they show off their games, too?
Yeah, oh, well, of course. You know, Grim Grimoire and all that stuff. And they showed off their online store. And, you know, it was a good time all around. I met some cool people. So, you know, best of luck to NIS America. And hopefully Grim Grimoire receives some success because it was a lot of fun based on what I played. Before we get out of here, we're going to do some rapid-fire news. This is something we haven't done in, you know, ever, really. Okay.
We should try to fit the entire news segment in 2 minutes.
All right, let's do it. You ready? You got the clock going?
I'm just going to not talk. Go.
All right. Halo 3 beta launches May 16th. You got into the beta if you did a couple of things. You bought Crackdown in that first batch of shipments. They gave you a password to the beta. It's the multiplayer beta. It's going to feature three levels. You're going to get a chance to check out the new weapons, the new vehicles. The other way you could have got in was in February. You had to play Halo 3 or Halo 2 for 3 straight hours online. And if you were like in a certain number of people to finish that 3 hours continuously first, you got invited. Any case, comes out Halo 3 beta May 16th. You will be able to check that out if you were invited. And if you're not, you might be extremely jealous. Halo 3 comes out later this year. Xbox 360 shooters, Gears of War. New maps coming out. Those are coming out sometime soon. The maps will be downloadable content. You have to pay for them if you want to get them immediately. But if you wait a while, they will become free. And you'll be able to download them for free later on. In addition, Gears just received an update, a new game, a game type, multiplayer, called Annex, which is sort of a King of the Hill-style game for Gears of War, and it's the first multiplayer mode that features respawns. So if you die, you are not done. That's the Gears of War stuff. This week on the Wii Virtual Console, you've got Galaga, you've got Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle,
oh, nice.
And that's a Genesis game, and fifth one in the Alex Kidd series, and Bravo Man, all capitals. That's the TG16 release this week. The other cool Wii stuff, we finally got details on Knights. Knights coming to the Wii, the sequel to the Knights on Sega Saturn. Lots of cool stuff. You can hear about our discussion on this at GamesAreFun.com on our podcast, so if you want to listen to that and get more, basically, the sequel to Knights, it's being developed by Sonic Team. They've got 7 levels, I believe. They've got a 2-player mode. They've got the coolest feature, I think, the forecast channel on the Wii will actually read the forecast of the season of your area and apply it to the game environments. So it will change depending on what the weather is like. That's really neat. And, of course, this is a big deal. First major third-party title for the Wii. Really just a major deal in that it's a sequel to Knights, a game that people have wanted to have. It's a game that people love, and we haven't seen anything about it for... since 97 or whenever that was, 96 when it came out.
That was a long time ago.
Long time ago. Almost, I guess, 11 years. So that's big news. Knights coming to the Wii. And it's an exclusive, so that's neat. What else do we got? The 360, Xbox 360 dashboard update coming in May. They're integrating Windows Live Messenger, which means you'll be able to see if people on your Windows Live Messenger list have Xbox Live. You can send them friend requests. The achievement system is getting an update. Whenever you unlock an achievement, it'll tell you exactly what achievement and how many points it's worth, which is something that would be a no-brainer to me. But That's coming. Also, the other thing is there are more codecs for video playback on your 360. MPEG-4 format is now supported, not just Windows Media Video. You'll be able to see what game is in your 360 by highlighting the tray option, which is cool, and also how many achievement points you've unlocked for that particular game, which is nice. Marketplace is getting its own blade, so it's not really dispersed across all four blades now. You know how you can access the Marketplace, both through the Xbox Live Arcade blade and then through the main blade, but now the Marketplace is getting its own blade, and along with that, new companies will be able to make their own pages for games or themselves or whatever they want on the Marketplace blade.
I can't wait till that's cracked. This will be excellent.
The final update to that is that Microsoft will be releasing a clip-on keypad for the Xbox 360 controller so that you can IM instantly with people over through Xbox Live and Windows Live Messenger. It's sort of clips into the headphone jack, and it's a little sort of mini keypad that fits nicely on your controller. That'll come on sale this summer. Finally, last two stories, Guitar Hero 2 for the 360 downloadable content. Three new packs are going up, three songs each, and each one will be 500 Microsoft points. A total extreme ripoff, if you ask me. Three songs at roughly $2 each. I don't know about that, but there's that's, I guess, nine new songs for
one
you.
One song you want, two songs you hate.
Exactly. I've been playing Guitar Hero 2, by the way. Awesome game. I have a new appreciation for it now that I own it.
I really like that. Actually, I think that pricing is pretty fair, pretty straightforward.
I know, that's what you said off the air.
That's just because of the extra time it takes to get it. You know, there's no real competitive market for the music with the notes and all the game stuff tied into it. So until we get that, their prices are going to be higher.
Yep, unfortunately. So that's it. That's the news in a nutshell, and that's pretty much press start. Hope you enjoyed Hunter finally coming on the show. Dave, great to have you back once again.
Hey, thank you much.
I realize that you really make this show part of what it is. So, good luck next week and in the real world. And
well, thank you. Yeah, I'll be in touch. We have Skype. We do.
Hopefully,
we can pre-record stuff too.
We have not seen the last of you. Believe you me. That's it. We'll be back next week, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. You can download the show, pressstart.thefighting.org, or the email pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. For Dave Hampton, I'm Justin Ficino. Game over. Press Start post show back after 3 weeks. I know you all missed it, like a lover who has been imprisoned by your arch nemesis in a tall tower, and you thrown into the streets of medieval Britain.
Imprisoned and then thrown into the streets.
No,
one jerk.
She was imprisoned. You were thrown into the streets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That nemesis, man.
Yeah, but spend enough time on the streets, and you'll be thrown into prison too.
Yeah,
which means you'll get to see her again because you'll be in the same place.
Well, the path is obvious.
Yes. That was a great way to start that, I think. I like that. So what's new with you?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I have been playing a whole bunch of free games at home, actually. Just for some reason, I decided, I don't know, I wanted to load my computer up with free games because the rest of it was loaded up with free software. And then I realized that all the games I was playing were either cheap, free, or really, really cheap. I was playing God of War, which I borrowed from a friend of mine.
You like it? Oh, yeah, I remember you borrowed that a long time ago, kind of.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was the last time you were on the show. How far are you now?
I'm I am inside Pandora's Temple.
Okay.
I can tell you that much. I don't really know how far that is. But
did you fight the boss there yet?
No. No. I don't think so.
Okay. But that's
I was up really late last time I was playing it, so I don't remember.
A great game.
I don't think I have. Yeah, that game is a lot of fun. And I've been playing Free Space 2, which is only free because of a little loophole in their license agreement that says you can distribute it. So everyone has, and it's great, and I love it. And then God of Thunder. Did you ever play this game back in 1992 or whenever it was released?
1992, I was still suckling at... That was earlier.
You were a late bloomer, were 90- you?
92, no, I didn't play very many video games. I think in 92, I used to go over to my friend's house down the street and play Mega Man 3 a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, this was one of those old 3D Realms games. And 3D Realms has gone back and released a lot of them as freeware now. So I pulled down a DOS emulator and got this thing running and said, hey, I remember this game. The game, the main menu has die on it. You can go save game, load game, options, help, die.
Die is good.
They aren't kidding. If you choose it, your character just keels over and dies.
That's cool. I like how it comes after help. I like it. They got the priority straight.
I think it does come after. I don't remember.
They want you to like think about it. They want you to get support. And if even after that, you know, people can't be there for you, then die works.
They've even got a button that kills you. you just push the button. Oh!
More games need that.
Well, you know what? Interestingly, this was kind of a puzzle game, so it was necessary, because dying resets the stage.
Okay.
So they had a point to it, but I didn't know that for about half an hour. I was just killing myself randomly, going, ah, this game is dumb.
Speaking of puzzle games, Puzzle Quest.
Yeah?
Did we talk about that a couple of weeks ago?
We talked about it coming out, and okay. I don't think we talked about it when it was out.
I think I got it the day after we did the show on that day. Game is awesome.
You like it?
Game is freaking sweet. It's like, it takes all the best parts of like a puzzle game, like the addictiveness, and it's like Bejeweled, basically. And then it adds the strategy of an RPG, like gain mana, deal damage, cast spells, there's like different classes, quests you go on. I mean, it's awesome. You fight someone with a puzzle.
Did you see that Penny Arcade comic about that?
I did. I did. You know, I'm so happy they did 2 days worth of comics for that game. It deserves it. It's freaking awesome.
You know, that's interesting. I had a friend of mine who said, yeah, the game is kind of fun, except that it frustrates him to no end because it seems like it's all luck-based. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
You know,
so he just played Afterburner on the PSP, which is apparently really good.
Well, it is kind of luck-based, but I mean, as you advance through the game, you get more powerful spells and better equipment where you can manipulate the board and stuff, and so it becomes less luck-based the more you go.
Okay, I see. It's like the first Phantasy Star games.
Yeah.
Where you get into a random battle and you're just like praying that you don't get obliterated and have to reload your game. After every single battle, you go back to the town that lets you heal for free. Just like, let me live. Finally, you level up and then you can start beating mosquitoes that are the size of bowling balls.
Ooh, scary. Not a big fan of bugs.
Yeah. That game is fun.
The guys who are doing Puzzle Quest are coming out with a new one, and people are sort of calling it Puzzle Quest in space. It's called Galactrix. And it's like Bejeweled, but it's also... It kind of reminds me, based on what I know, it's like... It takes the Bejeweled puzzle formula, which is standard, and then Puzzle Quest used RPG elements. But then Galactrix seems like it's using, like, I don't know if you ever played the game called, like... I think it's, like, Supernova or Nova... It's like a... what's it called? They have it for Mac. It's called, like, Nova...
Oh, Escape Velocity.
Escape Velocity, yes, thank you.
Yeah, Escape Velocity Nova is the newest one in that series. There's, the first one was... I don't remember what it's called. I think Elite was the first game like that, and then there was Escape Velocity.
Kind of like Asteroids, but with like a whole huge thing built on it.
I know more than one person who failed class for that game.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, I almost did. When I downloaded the freeware version for my computer, it was fun. Escape Velocity Nova. Anyways, it's like, it seems like they're taking like Escape Velocity Nova minus the flying around in your ship bit. And so, you know, you can like get new ships, you can upgrade them, you can visit different planets, trade routes and stuff like that.
It's that sounds like fun.
It's like Escape Velocity Nova mixed with Bejeweled, pretty much.
So I'd play that.
That's cool. It's coming out for the PC, DS, PSP, and Xbox Live Arcade.
See, I would play that if I could use my throttle and stick joystick setup. I have these great plans to build a cockpit if I ever get tons of money and extra space in my house. I've got the throttle, the stick, the headset that sort of tracks your head's position, I've got a steering wheel, and I'm going to go buy some pedals.
Just attach some wings to that mofo and you'd be on your way.
And no one's making any good mech games. I'm so disappointed.
That is sad.
I have to go back and play Mech Warrior 2. With all this.
Although that Flight 6 setup might be good for Ace Combat 6.
Is it going to be on the PC?
360.
Ah.
It might be on the PC.
Blast. Yeah, maybe with games for Windows. That just means my computer won't run it. That's all the games for Windows logo means to me.
Dave's computer will not work.
My computer won't work. And neither will yours, because yours is a Mac.
Yes. Well, I'm planning on getting a new one soon, because I need to be able to use Skype at home, and I can't because my version is too old. My OS version.
Don't they? Oh, Skype doesn't support
OS X 10.2.
Oh, yeah, you're on 10.2. That's right.
Yeah.
I use Skype on my Mac exclusively. What are you talking
about? Yeah, I need to get a new computer. I'm thinking about maybe, I'm not going to go laptop this time. I think I'm going to go with desktop.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I might get an iMac. But I want to see what the new ones look like.
I honestly do want one of those machines.
They're nice.
Just because the screens are bigger, mm-hmm. and it has enough power to do what I want with it.
Well, dual core now, I mean.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine's a Mac developer.
Okay.
And so there's a very realistic chance he could show me enough of the ropes to get something like a music game running on there.
Oh, sweet.
You can plug the Guitar Hero controllers in with an adapter.
We've already done it. Okay, here's a question for you, and this is the first thing I thought of. Did you hear about that new game from Harmonix called Rock Band?
Oh, heck yes, I did.
Yeah, well, they like blatantly ripped off your idea.
Sort of. They didn't get all of it. So,
but how do you feel about it? I mean, this game's going to be awesome, right?
Well, here's how I look at that, in all honesty. So, long-time listeners of this show know that I've had this idea go into the back of my head for a while for a multi-tiered music game that uses guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, and a little DJ setup. And the whole idea was, I think I can outdo Guitar Hero. I think there's, you know, enough of a market for a game where you have a whole band, but no one's going to produce the controllers for it. So we'll make a little freeware game that scales based on what controllers you do have, and it'll be fun. You can play it with, you know, any music equipment you have or any Guitar Hero controllers you may have bought. That'll be fun. It'll be great. It has this cooperative element going on that I haven't really seen done anywhere else. And I've had a design doc for this thing written up for a while. I've been adding to it over the years as I've learned bits and pieces of code. I'm going to eventually produce it, so we'll see. That will come in time, but, you know, Rock Band pretty much got to the core of that.
Hell yeah!
I look at that like I look at, you know, fair competition. If they can make a better game than I can make, power to them.
Yeah.
Because I want to play that game.
Well, it's going to be online. We'll be able to jam and rock out.
I'm not going to do that at all. I want to play with my friends in person.
Well, you do too.
It's not the same to me to play it online. So as far as I'm concerned, that isn't even there.
I call vocals, by the way, when you decide to rock out with your friends.
I'll play drums.
Can I give you a little rendition of my...
Can I audition for you? My acapella thing from last time I was on the show?
Oh, man, that thing was awesome. Did they
I can't believe you spliced that into the post show right at the end. I'm just like, la la, I'm screwing around in the studio. All of a sudden, oh, look, there it is on the podcast screen. Future.
All right, well, here, we'll do one for me now, okay? Downtown. I don't know the rest of the lyrics of that song, so maybe I should pick a different one. And my heart will go on. I think I could make it in the band.
Yeah, you got.
What? Give me a request. Any request?
Anything.
Anything that does not involve vocals.
Anything by In Flames.
I'm not familiar. Sorry. You have to hum a few bars.
It's death metal.
I'm sure I can make that sound bad, too. Somehow.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to sing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that gets into an interesting point. Harmonix has been saying that they want to make a game where you're doing freestyle music creation as opposed to just playing other people's songs. And I wonder if that's what they're doing. And if that's the case, I will play it online because then you get more creativity from having different people. And if there's a way to freestyle this sort
freestyle
of game, I will play it.
It would be freaking sweet.
Particularly on the drums, because that's something I actually do play and will, you know, I'm not that great. But, you know, I think I could hold my own in the game for a while. But yeah, so the one thing they haven't ripped out of my game, though, is the cooperative element. The whole idea that... See, mine plays like where you play somebody else's song. But the parts all change, and they're all different, and they're all... Some of them are freeform, some are not. And it changes based on how your friends are doing.
Great.
So they haven't taken that, and I think I can still make that a good game.
If they have a freestyle mode, that will be, like, the most awesome game ever.
Seriously, they could take it just that, and I think it would be a great game. So did you see GameStop, I think it was, leaked the product IDs or whatever
it was. Yeah, and the prices and stuff?
Well, they had preliminary prices. Those things change all the time, so I don't know about those. But they did confirm they're coming out for the PS3, and they're going to be probably pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah. I imagine. But it's cool that you can use the Xbox 360 controller.
Well, if they're smart about it... smart about it. In my opinion, if they're smart about it, what they will do is they will set it up so you only need one controller to play it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't need to buy every single one if you just want to play guitar.
Well, I imagine even if you just want to play guitar and do vocals, it wouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I hope you could use any USB microphone or audio interface.
Yeah, or even just the Xbox Live headset.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I would like to learn to sing, and I have a microphone at home that's a heck of a lot better than any other microphone they're going to be selling for, you know, a console system, just because I paid too much money for it. Not too much. I thought it was worth it. But. So, I don't know. I'd like to see that sort of expandability.
Yeah.
I'd like the ability to take my drum set, which sends MIDI signals, and use that in the game instead of the controller. Guitar Freaks and Drum Mania 3rd Mix on the PS2 allowed this. And it rocked. But nonsense.
Well, okay. Coming out later this year, Rock Band. I can't wait. Let's check it out.
I can't wait for that. That game's going to be great. And hey, talk about Boom Boom Rocket a little bit.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I didn't do that.
I know. That's why I want to hear
Boom
about
Boom
it.
Boom Boom Rocket. It's a music game. It's kind of like DDR. Similar, I guess, in that there's four arrows. There's four arrow directions, and they each correspond to the face button on the 360 controller. Up in yellow is Y, obviously.
Okay. Right, so you know. Up, down, left, right.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you exactly. Do it with the right and it's different, and the notes are colored like the buttons on the 360 controller.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Basically, there's a bar at the top of the screen, and the play field is just fireworks that launch from the bottom of the screen to the top. And when the fireworks get to the bar at the top of the screen, you have to press the button. So it's kind of like DDR, where the arrows get there, you hit the arrows.
It's a rhythm game.
You're just playing with your fingers, right? And when you, the more precise you are to the bar, the bigger the fireworks explosion. And basically, you just go to the rhythm of the music, playing it. Three difficulties. The cool thing, they took a page out of Guitar Hero, and that there's this like hyper mode, sort of like Star Power, where you build up your meter to full, and when you activate the hyper mode with the trigger, L or R trigger. You get like a massive multiplier, and all the fireworks turn into like these huge, spectacular, like animated cool. explosions and stuff. So you can get like in a really busy song, you get just like a screen full of like explodey goodness. And basically, there's 10 songs. They're all remixes of famous classical pieces. The Toccata and Fugue by Bach
Excellent.
Is called Toccata and Funk. There's a, I don't know if you, Hall, I think it's like Hall of the Mountain Man.
In the Hall of the Mountain King.
In the Hall of the Mountain King. Well, in this game, it's called In the Hall of the Mountain Dude. And,
oh my gosh.
So it's pretty cool.
What the heck?
So it's all these remixes. Some are techno-y, some are more ambient.
Good remixes?
Yeah, they are. Okay. I like the track list. I haven't played all of them. I stayed up till 2 last night to get the game, but I.
You stayed up till 2 and you didn't play 10 songs?
Well, no. I had to go to bed.
No, I mean like, how long would it take to listen to 10 songs?
I don't know. I mean, they're all fairly, probably in the 3 or 4 minute range.
Okay.
So, but they're all good. The ones that I've heard so far,
well,
at least.
Okay, so that means you either played it for less than 30 minutes.
Yeah,
or...
I played for about 45 minutes. Oh. And I did easy and medium mode on some of the songs I
already
completed.
Okay, so I was going to say, so you're replaying songs. So there's got to be some kind of replay value.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There is. And there's achievements to unlock, and there's also new firework patterns to unlock based on your
cute.
Performance. I guarantee you, this is the first time and the only time and the last time I will ever... be number one on the leaderboards for any Xbox Live
awesome.
Arcade game.
Awesome.
Because when I downloaded the game, it had been out for less than an hour. I set the high... And there were probably about 12 or 15 people that had already set scores from in that hour. Well, I beat... Pretty much in every song I played, I got to the top and beat whoever had set the highest one. But
Sweet.
I'm going to go back today, and I just know it. I'm not even going to be, like, ranked. And it's going to be, like, below 1,000 or whatever. So, but I just...
See,
I should have taken a freaking picture. I was like, yes, number one!
You should have taken a picture. Well, that's why we have friends leaderboards. Because that's, like, you know, the community arcade. You want to see who's good locally.
Yeah, and ever since you beat my score in Geometry Wars, I've been very angry. Because
Didn't you outdo me, though?
I outdid you first on the very first day I got my 360, and I outdid your Geometry Wars score. And then I checked a couple weeks ago, and you surpassed me again.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I thought you had... taken my top, and I can't hit my top anymore.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. But
my top wasn't that great in the scheme of things. It was like 500,000. I know a couple people are getting 2 or 3 million, but...
Same company, by the way, Bizarre Creations, that did Geometry Wars and Boom Boom Rocket.
Oh, okay.
Very slick. Boom Boom Rocket, very slick presentation. They've got some cool modes. You got a freestyle mode where you don't have to worry about, like, it plays the song and shoots the fireworks, and you can detonate them on your own time and in your own patterns if you want. Don't have to worry about the bar. That's cool. There's no points involved. And there's also a visualizer mode where you put songs on your 360, play them through the music player, and the visualizer will do fireworks patterns based on the song you're playing. And you can, like, zoom in and out. You can, like, scroll through the cityscape faster, slower. You can rotate around the fireworks. It's pretty cool. Pretty, like, little novelty thing.
Nice.
Interested in that, so.
So maybe this is just because it's, you know, our show, but I can't. Help but wonder, what would this game be like if it had Hunter Goff working on it?
Exactly. You know, that's one of the... He mentioned Rez and Mizuguchi.
I know.
He seems to be a big fan of that. Every Extent Extra Clone, etc. So,
anywho. Are we running a little long tonight?
We are! This is the longest
tonight,
post show we've done. But
11 in the morning.
It's fun. We got to get it all in now because you're still here.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's really good to be back. Thanks for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be back on.
We'll Skype you. We're going to Skype you in the future. So it'll be like old times. So anyways... Thanks for listening. Go check out Boom Boom Rocket, and we will see you later.
Bonus points if you spot the change I made on the site.
And my heart will go on!